Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hello, Johnny. How are you doing today?
Doing good. And you know, I know that at times this subject has been brought up on the show with you, so I figured you wouldn't mind if I brought someone on who is this is an issue that Barbara has dealt with. Her name is Jennifer Sin. And,
well, what is the issue?
I'm going to say the issue.
Tell us the issue first. Tell us.
Okay. Well, you have been pregnant and you've lost a child. Like a pregnancy was either a stillborn or lost during the pregnancy. And
okay, so it's loss of a child during pregnancy.
Yes.
So we're not about Johnny. Are we not talking about miscarriages then?
Miscarriages as well. Miscarriages.
Oh, as well. Okay. Okay, good.
And
well, let's bring on our guest.
Her name is Jennifer Sin, and this is a pregnancy loss recovery coach. Now, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. How are you? Hi. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Okay.
We are happy to have you, somebody who has expertise in the field of this. It is such a devastating thing for so many women and families and husbands and out there. And you help these people. Can you tell us exactly what you do and how long have you been doing it?
Sure. Well, I suffered my own loss. It's been 22 years. And throughout the years have just kind of, you know, helped different friends or, you know, different acquaintances, people who are referred to me. And then I realized one day that, you know, I just needed this is happening too much. It happens so many people. And there's a trickle-down effect. You know, it's not just the woman who lost the baby. It's her partner. You know, maybe, you know, their families. There's a lot of people grieving over this, and it affects a lot of lives. So I became a life coach, and I have been helping women ever since. You know, it's probably been about 4 years, and I have been helping other women and their families just deal with this in the best way we can through coaching modalities, you know, and really just listening. That's what a lot of people just need, someone who has been there and can listen.
I know a lot of different kinds of stories and probably stories of how maybe their partner wasn't there for them, and that's partly probably why they need to reach out to have somebody else to talk to about it. So that is so helpful and good. Yeah. What do you find is the worst for these people who are experiencing loss?
You know, I think the hardest thing for them is it's so raw for them. And then their well-meaning family, friends, coworkers, even their partner will come in and say things to them that try to fix it. Like, at least you can have another child. Or, you know, well, at least you didn't get attached to this one. Or, you know, they say these things that really they're trying to be helpful, but they just end up being really painful. And when you're in such a raw state, it really affects your relationships, you know, with your partner, with your family. And so I would love to, you know, really teach people what's okay to say to somebody that's in this, you know, that is grieving the loss of their baby.
Could you just give us one example? Because somebody says, oh, you can always have another baby. Well, I know they're trying to help, but how do they know? Maybe they don't know. Maybe this was their only chance to have one, or maybe this is number 5 where it just didn't work out. I mean, they try and try and try. And sometimes it's expensive for people, and they can't afford in vitro if they're doing that kind of thing, taking the avenue. Yeah.
I just had a client the other day who spent $30,000 on in vitro and lost the baby, and, you know, someone in their family said, well, I guess you didn't want it enough. You know, you should have spent that money on adoption instead, or, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, modern technology, it's expensive.
Jennifer, I have somebody that was close to me that he and his wife, they spent $30,000 three times and it didn't work. And oh my gosh, he just wanted a baby. I mean, they both did so badly. And what was really sad is that she had years and years before had an abortion, because when she met that person, she was seen dating two men and she didn't know which one was the father. And so she just didn't want to take the chance, I guess, to have somebody else's, maybe. I don't know, but decided that. And don't you often wonder if you've messed your body up to where you maybe can't get pregnant in the future?
Well, there is. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guilt. And I think no matter what the situation, when there is a loss, you blame yourself, you know, and there's a lot of things you question about, you know, well, if I couldn't, you know, that I couldn't take care of it, or what past trauma may have caused this to happen. So there's a lot of that blame that takes place.
And people also say, oh, well, you can always adopt, but maybe that's true, but maybe they're not ready to hear that. They're not ready to finally give up the hope of having their natural born. Some people really want the experience too of birthing a baby. They've always wanted that.
Yeah.
They long for that.
It is. It's such a personal experience, and you wouldn't say some of these things to someone who had lived a long time, you know, that like, well,
right.
They should have, you know, well, you know, I mean, it's just such a different, it's because everyone else is so uncomfortable. So what I really want people to know is, if they've had someone in their life that has, or maybe are going to have someone in their life that this happens to, that it's okay. I'm sorry that this happened. This is terrible.
I want to say something. I want to say something because I have I'm sorry if I cut anybody off. I have a story to kind of, I told Jennifer this story. Okay, a lot of people don't know this, but my cousin, she married a woman. And because she married a woman, obviously you cannot get pregnant the old typical way. Well, what happened was, this is the rough thing, Barbara. They gave her, I think it was some kind of fertile drug or something. And she was pregnant with triplets, okay? And the weird part of it is, well, this is the part that's really weird. You know, obviously not everyone, even though it's getting better, is going to be comfortable with the idea of, of their family member marrying a woman and being a lesbian. One of them was our grandmother. So we were going over in our mind, we were thinking, okay, how are we going to tell our grandmother how these three kids were coming about? And it turned out she miscarried all three kids.
And then you never tell her.
What?
Which is tragic, but did they have to keep that from their grandmother the whole time?
Well, at that stage, she was kind of not all there. I mean, she was sort of picking up on some things, like sort of like maybe my granddaughter is a lesbian, maybe, you know, but she wasn't really up on it. And it was sort of like, it was like obvious to some people. I mean, you know, this woman happens to be pregnant with triplets all of a sudden, and she's not married to any man. And you start wondering what's going on. But it was really tragic. I mean, to lose three kids at once, that's terrible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, she should have had a connection to Jennifer Senn then, which leads me to this question. How can people find you? Because they need you right away. I mean, the next day sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. I have a website, jennifersenn.com. You know, I'm on social media. It's Navigating Baby Loss on Facebook and Instagram, and so those are some good places to find me. Definitely, I have a free ebook download. It's called The 10 Questions You Ask Yourself After You Lose Your Baby, and it kind of goes through, you know, what happens if I question my faith, what happened, you know, how do I communicate with my partner when he's, you know, he or she is grieving differently. You know, how do I navigate the things that people say to me that, you know, seem insensitive? Or, you know, how do I get out of bed in the morning when I don't really want to? So there's a lot of those topics that are in my ebook that I love to try to get in people's hands as soon as, you know, as soon as it happens, just to kind of...
I like the 10 questions.
You know, get some of those, Kind of get some of those thoughts calmed down. Start thinking.
Right. They start thinking, and then they can actually sometimes, with something so simple as that, start healing their own selves. And also just hearing about other people's stories, but there probably is a lot of stories. There are a lot of stories online of people's lost blogs, but that doesn't help you as much as sitting down with a professional such as yourself. One-on-one.
Well,
I don't imagine
that's the thing.
Help as much.
Right, and that's the difference is, you know, with coaching is that you can, coaching is designed to take you forward faster. You know, you can have those groups and different things like that, but sometimes it's like they just keep swirling and negative, you know, not, I don't want to say negativity, but just kind of swirling, where coaching is like, okay, you know what, we're going to do what we can to honor your baby. You know, we're not going to forget about them. We're not ever going to, you know, it never goes away, as you know, and I know, like it never leaves you. And it changes so many things that, you know, that the way that you do so many things in your life. But we can really honor that baby and still go on and have a really wonderful life. You know,
so those are some of those things.
Go ahead.
Those are some of the things
that just need healed a little bit. You know, you've got to start the healing process. And then, because it does, it will sneak up in all kinds of areas of your life. And, you know, I know with my own children, I had two sons before my loss. And then I had a daughter after I lost twin girls. And then I had a daughter after. And, you know, that pregnancy was the hardest pregnancy ever. You know, and then there were different things. As the kids got old, you know, even as they got older, there were different things where you would just, that terror of fear would just strike in you because you just think, I can never go through another loss of a child ever again. And, they're definitely. And so, you know, during my research, there are so many factors that there are. There's PTSD that happens with mothers after loss. There is, you know, of course, the divorce rate, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It increases because it just does it. You know, it really, you have to really be in communication in order to survive it. Unfortunately, you know, the suicide rate is up 5% with mothers who have had a loss. You know, there's some really, really tragic things going on with mental health with women who've experienced the loss, and then you throw COVID on top of it, you know, when they're in the hospital, one person, you know, they don't have their community with them. Terrible.
They couldn't even have a baby shower, but, and then all of that. And I bet there's a lot of people who check in with them later and to see how their new arrival is. And then they have to tell those people, I haven't talked to you for a long time. I lost the baby. And relive it by telling so many people and crying and crying. But what if the husband, in my case, this was crazy. 8 years later, I hadn't even spoken to him. He didn't even remember one of my miscarriages. That's how much he remembered it.
Yeah.
The second one. He thought, I only had one. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's so real for us. You know, the minute we find out, you start having dreams of what this baby's going to bring to your life. And then the farther along you get, of course, it just becomes more and more and more real. And it isn't oftentimes for them.
You fall in love with the baby when it's in you, and some people don't even think it's a real person when it's in you.
Yeah.
I even felt like it was before the heartbeat started. And how do you feel about that?
Sure.
Because, I mean, one of their heartbeat never even never did start, but all of those wonderful feelings of I'm pregnant and excitement and start decorating and dreaming of your new little baby coming, and then, the dreaming. And still, 14 years later, this wasn't even the one was talking about, the two miscarriages with that husband. I was pregnant too when you said, that was a hard pregnancy with your twins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that is a hard, hard pregnancy. And I lost one of the twins. Did you lost both of your twins?
I did. Yeah.
Oh.
So you lost.
At what month?
Yeah. And I was 32 weeks.
That is so far. I mean, I think I had my daughter around there 7 weeks early, which is very premature because of the complications, but I had to deliver the stillborn, and I bet that is really hard. I mean, I knew it was going to be that way. I knew ahead of time, but some people don't, and they go through all of that, the wonderful excitement build up of having a baby, and then you have deliver, and it is a stillborn, and you have to have a funeral.
You do, which I think people don't, you know, it's like you're in a bad dream, right? Like you're like, but I don't want to do this, but I don't want to have a funeral, and I don't want to do this. And you just, but you have to, you know, and, you know, and right. I mean, it's just, so you have one that lived.
Oh, yes, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because
that's
on
whole
air,
other thing.
Totally, and have you ever had this kind of client or situation?
Yes. Yeah, it's
where
an
they
interesting.
Only had one, out of twins,
right.
And one survived and one didn't. Wow.
And then the guilt, right? Because, like, well, how, you know, why did this one... And what, you know what, and you just feel like somebody's missing all the time.
Yes, and I still, 14 years later, always think about what it would be like and what her twin would be like. It was a boy, and his heartbeat just was usually babies inside of you with this cystic hygroma, which he did have. Don't usually survive even the pregnancy, and if you do have them, they usually live for only about 45 minutes. So I had to actually make a choice, Jennifer, which when you talk about guilt, I didn't feel like so guilty because I felt like, because they were really pressuring me. They said, your pregnancy will be ruined. You have a healthy baby in there, and if the heartbeat doesn't stop by itself, I mean, the baby could grow and the water bubble around the head will pop and could will terminate her and maybe harm me. The liquid can get into your system, your heart and everything. It's a very dangerous. So I had to make the choice of taking that life. I did.
Yeah. Oh, it's a,
and that was a
and
very
no
hard
mother should
adult.
Ever have to do that. No.
I know.
Mm-hmm. No mother should ever
and I was alone
have to
and
do
I,
that.
Jennifer, I wish I would have known you, because I was on the outs with the father and we were living in two different states, and then we did end up getting back together and it was just wonderful. And then when she was a year and a half old or 18 months old, he was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver. So it was a lot of loss.
Gosh. Oh, that's so much loss.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it is. I mean, that when you think about, you know, I was 29 years old when it happened to me, you know, you just think,
wow.
No, I mean, at that age to experience, you know, in 6 months after that, my best friend died of cancer, and it was a really hard season. You know, it was a really hard season of loss, and, you know, and then I'm trying to care for my older children because, you know, you still have to show up, and then, you know, trying to keep my relationship going. You know, it's a lot to handle at a young age.
That was a lot.
And
I really feel for you. Everybody who's listening, a twin pregnancy is so, it's double everything, double weight, double pain, double wrist problems, double problems. And it's not easy. And you went through the whole twin pregnancy almost to the end, and you lost both of your babies. And did you have to have a funeral, or did, because if it is a miscarriage, then you don't have a funeral, which I didn't have to because baby was delivered. It was not alive. So but the people who they deliver the baby, you know, I had to stop that heartbeat of the twin that was going to rupture maybe because it wasn't stopping. They thought it was going to stop by itself. There was only two people in the United States they recommended, a lady over here on the West Coast and the male doctor over in the East. I went to the lady. She had to stick a needle. You know how long those are for the amniocentesis? First of all, I had two of those for that. Then I had to go back down in. They take a very long needle, and they won't let you see, and they move the monitor. My girlfriend was there. She ended up under my bed holding my hand so hard because she couldn't even handle that any part of it. So I ended up, like, supporting her, really. And then they inject in the heartbeat to stop it, like chloride something. And then they won't let you watch that, but I mean, what a precise thing going in there. And there's such a chance that they could, you know, get the wrong baby, or, I mean, she was really having to look, and then also rupturing other. And for 2 days after you get that procedure done, you know, you're leaking, the water is like, you're not right. And for a few days, you're just staying really still because they said, be careful because you could lose the other one a few days after if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was highly stressful. I never looked for somebody to talk to.
Well, you're in survival mode. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to comment on something because, you know, I was thinking about this right before the show from a man's perspective. And actually, you know, I would think if I was a man and I had a wife that was, or a woman that I was involved with that was pregnant and had a miscarriage, or lost a baby, I would think that I do something wrong. And I'll tell you why. Most of the time, I would think if, you know, obviously the man isn't the one who is pregnant, but usually whenever there's a medical decision to be made, it's brought up to the both of them. Like, take this medicine or do this treatment or something, you understand what I'm saying, or do this diet or something, you know, it's more likely I would think if I was a doctor, it would be brought up to both the husband and the wife, or the man and the woman, so to speak. So I would feel guilt, like I didn't do more to, I didn't want to cut in on what Barbara was talking about, because I know this is an important story, but I wanted to at least comment my
thoughts.
You're
fine. You're fine, Johnny. You're fine.
It's great. No, I think the men's perspective is very important. And it's, you know, I think they do have a tough role. You know, it's a tough role because men are naturally fixers, you know, so instantly, of course, that's what you think. Like, I should have done more. How do I fix this? What would I do to fix this? And, you know, and there is no fixing. And what you need to do is just be there and cry along with her. You know, that's the best thing you can do, which we talk about that a lot, you know, with my clients, just like, you know, having the men open up also, because it is, they are grieving too, just in a different way. And they're scared to death because they're trying everything they can to not make you sad. So,
if they're a guy, there's so much distance.
Right.
That's hard enough. Then you have to, you know, lose one. But not to mention the anxiety on the next try of a healthy pregnancy. You know, I bet that you had tried not to let it enter your mind, but there must have been some PTSD and anxiety that pregnancy. Tell us about it.
It was really, really rough. And I have the most amazing doctors, and they did. They told me, they said, you know what? If you get up, you know, anytime you want to, as long, you know, during business hours, if you want to come in and listen to the heartbeat or have a quick sonogram to make sure things are okay, then you do that. And you know, I didn't do it very often, but there were a couple times when I did. I could not handle the anxiety. And, you know, it is. There's so much there, you know, again, with the women's health, there's so much depression and anxiety that happens after a loss. And then to jump into a pregnancy, again, is a whole, you know, mixed bag of emotions for sure, and hormones.
Right. And so do you recommend at the end, if it's the proper time, do you recommend adoption to these people? Because it really is fulfilling.
Yes. You know, I find that most people, if they are desiring another child, prefer to try again, you know, unless they just can't, you know, and, you know, like I said, that's a whole coaching, you know, around that, around your feelings about being pregnant again, you know, and the anxiety that goes with it, and, you know, self-modalities
and
to,
regret.
Like, calm yourself down. Right,
you know,
right.
Too.
And just, you know, to be okay that things can be different this time. It doesn't have to end like,
right.
So yeah,
I
find that most people want to try, but, you know, occasionally some, you know, sadly some will never have another one, and, you know, which is a hard thing too.
But they might be getting older. And so when I was saying regret, what if they waited till their late 30s and they just couldn't, because sometimes you can't when you get older, and you really regret not doing it younger? I bet that happens a lot. And that's hard to live with, regret, isn't it? It's like it eats at you.
Regret is a tough one, right? Because we all are trying to live our lives with no regret. And then something pops up like this, you know, totally unexpected, and you just can't change it. So, yeah, I mean, it is. It's a tough one. If you have made that choice to wait a little longer and then it just doesn't happen again or something, it is definitely, you know, that's a lot of mindset shifts that need to happen when those things are going on.
And when you said earlier about how I was in my my mode, what was that mode? You said, now I can't think of the word.
Oh, survival mode, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Survival mode. I was definitely in that, to where I felt so strong because, hey, when you're pushed up to the wall, you got to take care of yourself. You've got to know what's going on. And I pulled strength out of me, and therefore – a lot of people never even knew, had any idea, close friends even, never even knew I had 3 miscarriages. And they get so surprised, but we do have this mama bear instinct in us. But when I earlier was talking about the blogs, I did go on those years ago when you could look up specific things like what my baby did have. And it was just heartbreaking for me to read because I still had a healthy baby coming, and they only had that one baby with that. And so I just didn't feel like I could even relate very well, because my instincts were just to stay strong for that one child. But I can only imagine if I would have lost that baby at 37 years old, and I was on the outs with that boyfriend. I didn't know when I was going to meet another man and fall in love and get married and, you know, try to have a family
right.
when I was 37. So, I mean, there is so much anxiety, but there is a thing, too, that God does, take care of things, mm-hmm. because the third time with the husband, the first one wasn't with the husband, the second time miscarrying with the husband, I actually was surprised I got pregnant, and it wasn't meaning to, and was breaking up with him. So, you know, I look back and think, if I had a baby with him, it wouldn't have been very easy.
Yeah.
So that's my story. And I just wanted to tell you that I feel like I have gotten over it. It was hard, but I still do wonder what Gabriel would have been like here. But I will see him, because I do believe in heaven that I will see him and meet him there in his perfect condition.
That's the best part, isn't it, is knowing, like, you're going to have this welcoming committee, and you're going to have this welcoming committee in heaven, and I am excited about that, too, for sure. But
Jennifer, I want to tell you something that I think that you could really appreciate being said. Mm-hmm. My mom, she recently passed away 6 months ago, and before she died, I even have it recorded, she knew she was dying, and so she was okay with it. And she goes, besides, I have a big job when I get to heaven, because I decided I'm going to be the one to take care of all the aborted babies.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Sweet.
So sweet. She was against
so
abortion,
sweet.
But yeah, she never thought of, I never thought of mine, and she never thought of my situation as abortion, because it was really a choice where I felt like I had to do it, because I couldn't do it unless I signed the paper. But to save my healthy baby, who's now 14 and, like, happier than she's ever been in her life, you know?
Oh, good. Yes. Oh, what a blessing. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And how many kids do you have
I
now?
I love that your mom's cute. So I have three.
Yeah.
Yep, I have the two boys, and then my rainbow baby, my daughter, and it's just.
Well, why do you call it a rainbow baby?
Rainbow baby is a term that that is used after if the child is born after a loss. So it's sort of like the rainbow, the sunshine, the rainbow after a storm. Yep.
I just thank you for explaining. I'm curious.
Yeah. Or the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, yes, for sure. It was very healing, you know, you're still grieving, of course, and it's, you know, like I said, that pregnancy was really hard, but it was very healing too. Something magical about having a new baby, you know, after going through an experience like that, for sure.
Oh, I love babies. If I had a different path
I do too.
And I was, not so traveling around young, I would have just had tons of babies like my grandmas did.
Aw, yeah. My kids laugh at me because I'm obsessed. I have a weird obsession with them, and I don't know why, but I'm so drawn to them, and I just love their sweet, innocent little face, and it just, I don't know, maybe that is something that came out of my loss, but I love a new baby.
Oh, they're so sweet. They're so helpless too. They need us. And I love what you do. And it's so easy to find you too. What other kinds of things? Do you do any things like events or things on social media that we should know about? Or do people just contact you on your website, Jennifer Senn, S-E-N, correct?
S-E-N-N, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or do we need to look at a blog or anything extra that you do?
Yeah, so I do have a blog on my website. I am I am thinking about an event this spring. So I'm thinking about what would be, you know, just I'm really always trying to think about what would be helpful to, because I really coach women in all different stages. You know, there are the ones that are, you know, right, raw, brand new, you know, just happened. And then about 3 to 4 months later, there's a bunch that need help, you know, kind of reentering. Okay, well, I've got to go back to work, and how do I go back to life and face holidays? And so, you know, there's that. Then there's, you know, the other bunch that want to have another baby. So there's just there are different stages. So I'm considering doing some, like, you know, creating some maybe little mini courses or something like that, but I haven't yet. It's in the works.
Well, I love that, though. But so one-on-one is important, plus during their pregnancy. Like in your case, if you had somebody to talk to, did you have somebody to talk to when you got pregnant and during that pregnancy? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just my doctor. You know, my doctors, like I said, were so wonderful. And I have an amazing friend. I have an amazing network of family and friends. And my husband is, you know, thankfully we've been married for 31 years and have been through it all together. And he's been amazing through it. But, it was tough. Yeah, it was a tough time. So, no, when I lost my babies, I remember thinking, I just need someone who's been through this. Like, I looked for those people, like, who's been through this, who survived it, and can just tell me that it's going to be okay. You know, I really needed that at that time. And some people showed up, you know, definitely some people would come out of the woodwork. But it's really odd that we're somehow trained to just kind of stifle it down, you know, like, this is just something you don't talk about because it makes people uncomfortable when you talk about it. And we, you know, as people pleasers, you know, we don't want to make other people uncomfortable, so we don't talk about it. And then what it does is it just, you know, just kind of brews inside of you. So, yeah, I think that is the best thing, is to find someone who you can talk it out with. And, you know, and someone who can start helping you see a way out of it. That your life, yes, this is a huge part of your life, but there is a little, you know, there is light on the other side. There is a way through it.
Well, do you strictly just deal with people who have loss in pregnancies or loss of children just altogether?
I have not. I'm just pregnancy and stillbirth, you know, like that's kind of my niche because that's my experience. I don't have, you know, I don't really have any experience with children. I know that's a whole other.
Oh, that
that's
would
a
be
whole
a
other
big.
Loss.
And
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
taking on that is, oh my gosh. I mean, people think, oh, it's not as painful if it's just an infant that comes right out of you and dies. They don't understand the connection. Can you really explain to the audience, especially the men who don't experience pregnancy, how a mother connects to her unborn child?
Well, and I, you know, I remember myself with my twins. I just remember thinking, I mean, like we said earlier, you know, the minute you find out, the dreaming begins. Right. So you're already thinking, like, and especially with me with twins, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to have, they're going to graduate from high school together and then maybe they'll have a double wedding. I mean, you just, you know, your mind goes crazy with all these dreams you know, we're going to need a bigger car and two car seats and a double stroller. And, you know, you just,
and you feel
you kind of go crazy.
Right, Jennifer?
It's so exciting.
It's very rare.
Very rare,
right?
It was rare, and, you know, my father-in-law was a twin, and so we were like, oh, well, here it is. You know, we were going to, you know, here it is, the hereditary twin. And so, yeah, it was so, so, so exciting. And then, you know, and then as the pregnancy gets farther along, you know, I could tell, you know, the one on the left was not as active. just, you know, kind of moved, you know, between 5 and 8 p.m. and a little bit in the morning, where the one on the right was, you know, rocking and rolling. You know, they just, they had distinct personalities even in utero. So here's, and, but my husband, like, he didn't get to experience any of that. You know, like, except for what I told him, or, like, you know, maybe once in a while you, you know, feel it or whatever. But, yeah, so it was a whole different connection than what what he had.
Yes.
I've heard, but, I have a question.
But he's saying, no, but you do, to end that thought, though, you really do start connecting with your unborn child, because you do feel the little movements. You knew exactly when one was moving and the other one wasn't, and you had your feelings with them and all the dreams, and you really start to make relationships with them before they're born, everybody. It's really very, very intense.
It is, right. Well, so, you know,
I wanted to ask you about, go ahead. There is something called hysterical pregnancy. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Have you heard of it?
Hysterical? No. Is that what you said? No.
Yes. Okay. Well, I might be saying the word wrong. It's there is an actual disorder where the woman will think she is pregnant so much that her periods will stop, she will start to gain weight, and, you know, she will walk around thinking she's pregnant, okay?
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you've heard of this, but the reason I'm bringing this up is it is sort of a mourning, but not really, in the sense that what they do in that situation is they always tell the lady that at the end of it that the baby was a stillborn, it didn't live. Because if they tell the baby that it was made up, then she wouldn't be able to handle it. And it's really weird because her periods stop. She actually stops having periods. And then
Your mind is powerful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know anything about
but I
that?
I don't know who would. Jennifer, can you believe this? Who is telling these people, making up this story? I mean, that wouldn't be ethical. Oh, okay, you're at the hospital. You had a stillborn. Who's going to tell? What professional is going to tell this woman a lie?
I know. As he was telling his story, I just kept thinking, like, oh, I hope she had a therapist, you know?
Yeah.
She definitely, that's a case for professional therapy, for sure. But, yeah, that's very cruel.
Men who think they're pregnant, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a...
That was the question.
You don't go there on that one. That's a whole other ball game.
For sure.
You know, I'm not surprised anymore. There's some weird stuff going on out there. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, also, I just wanted to say, we've had my aunt on the show. She had 3 miscarriages and then finally did adopt. And she's so happy. Yeah, they're so happy. And the girl, I think, is graduated now. Well, my cousin, from college. And they were the ones that flew over to China and did that whole thing, where that was a very special event for them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
But just talking about this makes me feel like, well, she really went through a lot, and I never have talked to her really about. We got really close when I grew up, and it's something that you can actually sit down and talk to with a family member and even help them today, because maybe they still have PTSD about it. Even though they did adopt and they're happy, those other losses still did happen. It didn't erase those losses.
That is such a good point, because that is so true. I mean, everyone knows somebody that has gone through this. You know, it's one of those things. Everybody knows somebody, and the best gift you can give someone is to remember their baby. You know, just remember that for them and talk about it. Talk about it. You know,
that's why I named
I think
mine.
It would be hard. Yeah.
And you did too. I
did. Yeah, mine, Yeah, I had to, I actually, I had to be in labor. I was induced for 3 days. And because they really wanted me to have a, they wanted me to have them naturally so that, you know, at the end of the, at the end of it, you were not only grieving, but then recovering from a surgery, right? So 3 days, at the end of the third day, I said, I can't anymore. You know, this is it.
Right.
And so we, you know, did a cesarean late that night. And, yeah, like you said, you know, then you do the funeral and then you pick out the burial plots and then, you know, so it's like the whole thing.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just a living nightmare.
I'm so sorry. You know, it's never too late to say, I am sorry for your loss because I am and I feel for you. Wow. And let me ask you this, when they induced you, because I didn't really get the details, did you know that they were going to be stillborn at that time, the twins?
I did, yeah. I actually, I didn't feel them moving. And so it was just one of those things. I called up and they were like, yeah, come on in, you know, we'll do it. Sonogram. And I remember my husband worked in the hospital, and the doctor's office was down the street. And I remember being in the doctor's office and seeing the terror on the technician's face, you know. And then she was like, well, I'm not really seeing anything, but we're going to send you to the hospital. And I had to get in my car and drive to the hospital by myself.
Yeah.
It, which, you know, like, you just do it. It's amazing what women can do. We're so strong. But, yeah, and then I went over there, and, of course, my doctor met me there. My husband was there, you know, it was the whole thing.
And you see their
from
faces.
There, but,
and their faces are,
you know,
probably, like, white as a sheet and just,
yeah, you know.
You know, but you look at their faces, and they're just, and your heart, when they tell you, and you had to take that drive. I had to do something like that as well, and the doctor said, well, I don't want you to have to wait the whole weekend, so I'm going to get you in first thing in the morning to see the specialist about this. And that whole night, I mean, the heart-dropping moment of it that never goes away for a long time. It's like a pit in your stomach. It's this heart, this emptiness, this, like, you're just like, sometimes you just feel like you have to do it alone. Like, I didn't even want to even see anybody. I just had to take all of my energy I had to even fathom and wrap my head around all of it.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine what you went through. That was, it's unbelievable. And I think, you know, I kind of have a saying, I guess, that our stories are all different, but the ending is the same. And, you know, none of us got to raise our babies, and we just have these horrific stories sometimes that come before it, but it makes us really incredibly strong women.
Yes, and I can tell by when I tell you a few little details, by the way you react, I can tell you're very good with what you do, because I already feel better. Just like you said, just somebody that listens, but the way your tone just, you know, your reaction is important. It makes me feel like you were listening. You feel bad for what I went through. But you are so right when you were talking earlier about how people, it's something you don't talk about because it makes other people very uncomfortable. That is so true. And that right there is wrong. And I'm glad you're changing that a lot. A, by coming on the show and talking about it. But can you imagine what it was like, not even very long ago, back in the 50s and 60s, where you didn't talk about it at all? I mean, why would they make this a shameful thing, really? If you lost a baby or, you know, you didn't talk about it, you just held everything in. These people who have to hold everything in, that is really, really hard.
It's really tragic because it's hard enough. And then to, you know, and there are those thoughts of, you know, self-doubt or blaming yourself or whatever it is. And then to not be able to talk about it. It's just, you know, it really does put like a shame on it. And it's just, it's human biology for whatever, you know, whatever reason it happened. And
right.
Yeah. And what right. you need are for people to talk about it and remember it and see you through it.
So many details, and I'm sure you have so many. So when you were talking about the did you say e-books?
I do. So it's like a, it's like a download basically, like a, just like a download guide, you know, the 10 questions you ask yourself after you lose your baby, and just some things that I remember came up for me, that quite frankly, some of them took years. You know, some of them took a lot of years to really make peace with it. And you know, throughout coaching, you definitely can make progress doing, you know, progress with those thoughts and make peace with it a lot quicker.
Okay, so coaching, the therapy that you offer people, the reading, the 10 questions, the blog, it all sounds great. And we love what you're doing. And I am going to your JenniferSenn.com website right now. But when you said navigating baby loss, this is for your social media to find you?
Right. My social media is Navigating Baby Loss.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter?
Not Twitter. I haven't gotten to the figure out Twitter yet, but yeah.
That's okay.
Facebook,
I understand.
Yeah.
I have to force myself to do it. You know,
gosh.
But Facebook's amazing. Yeah. I love Facebook.
Yeah.
And then do you have any success stories of anybody that you've coached through something so difficult and just devastating that, besides yourself, your own story, that turned out really good?
Yes, I do. I have I won't say the name, but I have a client who, same thing. She lost her baby at 36 weeks, you know, just went through a horrific time, you know, and just we kind of worked together through, you know, through the whole stage of, you know, planning the funeral and having to do all of these things. And, you know, going back to work is a really hard one for a lot of people because their coworkers, last time they saw them, you know, they were going to be, they maybe have already had in this case, they'd already had a shower for her and all of these things, you know, you come home from the hospital to this nursery that's all ready to go, you know, different things like that. So, but she did great. We coached all the way through those stages. And then she just had a new baby girl last year.
Good.
So that was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a blessing.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then
so
you're still always there for them.
Right.
Yeah. So, but
if they
go through a hard time years later, you're there. That's wonderful.
Things pop up. I remember, you know, when my daughter went to kindergarten, I had a little bit of a panic attack, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
About her safety. And so, things pop up. And so then they can, you know, we can do spot coaching on that too.
I love this. I feel so grateful that you came on today we didn't even dive in really deep like you probably do with your people at all, but just a little tiny taste of talking about it and having a professional on the other line. That really actually helped me. It made me feel like, nobody's forgetting. I mean, they still care.
No.
It still was something. And thank
you,
Johnny, that he remembered. Johnny,
you're welcome. I'm honestly actually kind of glad because there are certain she's talked about this on the air. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even, you know, I wouldn't even touch it because it would be something that she is kind of.
If you made a mistake, Johnny, I would not come down on you. I would just say, I'm keeping that private for now. I mean, that would be an innocent mistake. I think that, you know, people could actually make others scared by their demeanor, you know. Oh, I don't want to talk about it right now. Well, then they're really afraid to talk about it. But I can only imagine how hard that would be going back to an office. I work out of home, and I never had to do that. But returning, obviously, you're visually pregnant. Everybody knows you're ready to pop. They're all like, yay.
Yeah, can't wait.
Throw you a little office party, and then you come back. You know, your baby bump is gone, and you are forlorn sitting there and just, okay, now I got to get back to life. And they all know it. And they're afraid to say stuff, but some people do say things and nothing is going right at all.
It's a tough road. Yeah, for sure. Yep. It is a lot to handle. So you definitely need help through it.
Have you ever had a client that you just could not help, that the whole thing was just too devastating and there was nothing you could do? They were just torn up and who knows, maybe they did end their life. Have you ever had that?
I have not had one, thankfully, end their life, but I do refer them to therapy. You know, there's definitely a difference between coaching and therapy. You know, and if they are feeling suicidal or if they just, you know, if they're really like in need of medication, you know, they just can't seem to step out of any of it, then I do refer them to a therapist.
Yes, because even when you do have a baby, there are some women who have that condition where they're totally depressed and they don't know why. What if they had the baby, lost the baby, and still have that hormonal problem going on where they're totally depressed? What is this called again?
You still get, I mean, your hormones don't change just because your hormones don't know if your baby's alive or not, you know? So you still go through postpartum depression, you know, you still have milk, you still have, you know, all of the things that you would have had.
The baby clothes.
What
do you do
with
all the baby gifts that you, I mean, they must ask you these little things that seem like little, but they're a big deal to them living it. They have all of these gifts and they have no baby. Do they send them back? I mean, I'm sure they ask you, what do I do?
Actually,
they turn.
This is another thing that I've heard. There's been cases where, you know, a woman will get pregnant and then what she'll do is she will put the fact that she just got pregnant on a file somewhere. So what happens is that they send her little reminders in the mail, you know, but the problem is that they don't pick up on the fact that the baby is miscarried. So what will happen is the woman will be pregnant and then she'll start to get notices that'll say like, oh, your due date is coming, you know, and she's lost the baby, you know. So it just seems like, you know.
It's just like stabbing, you know. It's like there's just stabbing all the time of something everywhere you turn for a while, that's for sure.
Well, I know a person who doesn't really feel any loss if they went through this, probably wouldn't be contacting you, but have you ever heard of anybody that just whizzed through this whole thing with no problem?
I honestly haven't. I find that, you know, even the earliest losses, you know, whether they're, you know, gosh, now you can find out if you're pregnant the next week, seems like, you know, but even the earliest losses, the minute you find out, it's real, you know, and it's real. So no, I would say pretty much everyone has had some sort of, you know, some sort of grief over it.
I just loved being pregnant, even with the complications. Mm-hmm. You just feel special, like, wow, what an amazing miracle that we have carry our little infant inside of us and it grows and then we have it. It is a big, huge deal. And I do not know anybody either that went through this and didn't feel just a total pit, empty loss in their stomach, in their heart, in their soul. But we will see our passed away babies in heaven and that will be wonderful.
I want to be, yeah.
I named mine an angel name, Gabriel, because it was, I don't think I was going to name him. I didn't know what I was going to name him, but I wanted to choose a name of an angel.
I love that. I love that. Mine were Paige and Mackenzie.
And those names are especially for them. But you know what? The second two, I did not name, and I was thinking maybe I should.
You sure can. Yeah, never too late.
That'll be fun. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know why I didn't.
Because your job is to breathe and just get through the day to day. So, yeah, who knows?
Okay,
last
thing.
Yeah.
Who knows why? You know, we are, like you said, in survival mode. Okay, to recap, I just had to go back to this one story. Your friend who lost her baby at 36 weeks, it's 37 weeks full term, correct?
Yeah, I think it is. Yep. 36, 37.
I'm pretty sure. And
yeah.
That is right to the end. Oh my
right
gosh.
To the end. Yeah.
Wow. And that was your friend?
Yeah.
And you were her coach?
It was one of my
too?
Clients. Yeah, it was one
okay.
of my clients.
Okay.
Yeah,
so when's your client?
Yeah. Yeah. So she, you know, had she worked in an office, and it was just a lot of, you know, yeah, a lot of troubleshooting around being around other people again. It was a really hard thing
did
for
she,
her. But.
Yes. Did she look you up and found you just by herself researching?
She, actually she was referred to me by someone else. So, yeah, she was referred.
A lot of
I did business.
To
yeah, I've been actually, I was started out as a hairstylist. So that's where my coaching career actually began. Was
oh yeah,
during care.
The best psychologist.
You know, you coach everybody,
you guys,
and you hear all.
You guys
you
are the best.
You keep everybody's secrets. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you know, and then I just kind of morphed into. Then I did business coaching, and then morphed into life coaching, and so yeah, I was just I have a lot of you know acquaintances, and but yeah. Unbelievable.
Wow. Well,
I bet thank you so much for sharing your story with me.
Oh, you are welcome. Yes, there's so many little. The reason I was mentioning your ebooks, I feel like you could change the names of a lot of clients and just put a huge book together of stories with the details that are just crazy. Because I have some crazy details, you know, that people don't think about.
Yeah.
You know, that have not
right.
gone through this. And it's very, very interesting. And it could change a lot of people's views on the unborn child.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a heavy topic for sure.
It really is. So we thank you and are grateful to you for your work with all of this.
Thank you.
Pregnancy loss. Life coaching these women who need it so desperately. And everybody, you can find your pregnancy life coach, Jennifer Senn. Her last name is spelled S-E-N-N. JenniferSenn.com with all kinds of information and how to book her there. And I'm looking forward to going on and answering the 10 questions and jog my memory a little bit and see if I
good.
Am healthy with it. You know, it's very important, mental health, extremely, extremely important. Also, I do believe, one last thing, I do believe that my pregnancy that I really, really wanted with my new husband didn't work out. It ended in the miscarriage because of stress. I was trying every day desperately to get a loved one out of jail. Every day. And my heart was breaking for this person wrongfully accused, which all turned out good. But that stress, I think a couple weeks of that huge stress on only my shoulders pregnant, I think that that's what did it. So everybody try to stay stress-free as much as possible. And what could really help you with that is talking to a professional life coach such as Jennifer Senn.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I loved being on here and having this conversation with you guys.
We loved having you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Continued success, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon. And
okay.
I love the show. I loved it, and thank you. And thank you, Johnny, so much for everything you have done. Okay, our guest, Jennifer Senn. Pregnancy Loss Lifer, Senn.com, everybody. All right. Have
a great night.
All righty. Bye-bye.